have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host. Come on, somebody, if you know you've been redeemed and the Son has set you free, you are open up your mouth and give him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that's due his name.
Because you deserve it. For freedom, one more day to worship you. All I want is to see your face. Redemption is my song to sing.
Praise be to God. We are free to worship. I am so glad that we are free to worship. Do you not realize that? Do you not realize that there are many countries who don't have that liberty? And I thank God that we are one of those countries that are free to worship God in spirit and in truth. Not only that, you know, in that arena to where some can't, because by law they can't, but I thank God that through the Spirit of God, by the blood of God, only begotten Son, I am free to worship. I have no problems worshiping him. I have no reservations when it comes to worshiping him. And I am so glad that I am free to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm Apostle Brian Blasingame with For His Glory. I'm here with my awesome, beautiful producer, heavily anointed producer Kimmy Kim with Elation Radio. We're glad to be here tonight. Well, before we get started, I'll start with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity. We come humbly but yet boldly to your throne of grace, dominion, majesty, and power. We thank you, Lord God, for moving, not by your power, not by your might, but by your spirit. We bind everything that's not like Christ that will try to hinder or try to distract this word from going forth today. I decrease that you give the increase, God. And our Father God, I ask that you give me clarity. And that, Father God, those who's listening, I ask in Jesus' name that they listen with an open heart and that the word be applied to our lives in the way that you would have it be applied, that you be glorified in the earth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen, 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 and amen. Well, here we go. Last night I was in the elevation class, and we got to talking about angels. We talked a little bit about angels and God using his angels. One of the thoughts that came across my mind was the particular story that's in the Word of God, in Numbers, the 22nd chapter. So I'll be reading quite a bit. I would like to entitle this, Go With God, Stick With God. Just go with God and stick with God. Now, when the thought first came to me, I was focused on one thing, but as I started reading, God, of course, started opening up different things as I started seeing, as I started reading this. So, let's get started. Numbers 22, starting at the first verse, it says, And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was so afraid of the people because there were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Let me fill you in a little bit right there. This is during the time that God had promised the children of Israel that he would go take them to their promised land, a land filled with milk and honey. So they hadn't yet got to their promise, but they were on their way to their promise. And this is one of the stuff that God started revealing to me, opening up scriptures to me. Now, on their way to their promise, there was adversities. There were other countries that they had to pass through in order to get to their promised land. So by them having God on their side, they became, instead of slaves, they became a great nation. And each country that they went through, God was giving them victory over the different battles that they had to fight. So when they came to Moab knew what Israel had done to the Amorites. When he saw them, he was afraid. He was afraid. And in the fourth verse it says, and Moab said unto the Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licking up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messages, therefore, to Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God, the son of Beor, Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Now, this is what God starts uncovering. Notice, he sees them as a threat. He goes back to the elders, and he talks about how this company is going to lick up the field, how they're round about, and he's making it seem as though the children of Israel have sent out some kind of a threat or some kind of warning or something to that effect, that he feels as though they're coming against him. There hasn't been any word exchange, but this is what he's already put out there. This is what God will start showing me and start revealing to me. Even though some of you are headed towards your promise, there's others that's on the outside looking in, see the hand of God, may not realize what it is they see, but to them, you have become a threat to them. No reason, you haven't said anything, you haven't done anything, you hadn't done like what we used to call it, sold a wolf ticket. You are just on your way to receive the promise that God has promised you. If you follow what I'm saying, sometimes just because you belong, just because you're the king's kid, no matter how sweet you are, no matter how low tempered you are, and no matter how delicate you pronounce your words, to some people, because you are a king's kid, you are a threat to them, or you are a threat to what they have, or you are a threat to what they possess. Listen, another thing just stood out to me, he called to Balaam and he said, there is a people. He did not identify to Balaam who the people were. He didn't say that it was Israel. He had to know that it was Israel because he was afraid. And it said that he knew, he saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. But when he got ready to talk to the prophet, he said, he did not identify to the prophet who these people were. So there's some craftiness. There's already some craftiness going on, you know, in this already. So in the sixth verse, Balak says, come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Preadventure, I shall prevail, that we might smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now, look at this. He comes to the man of God, knowing that whom he blessed is blessed and whom he cursed is cursed. But isn't it, I'm going to go ahead and say it, isn't it crazy how he decides to use God's anointed, to try to curse God's anointed? It is crazy how God's anointed, or how he would try to use God's anointed to curse God's anointed enemy. This is not the first time he does stuff like this. The enemy loves to try to play one against the other. He knows he has no power, so he goes to power, who got some power, to try to work against those who are already anointed. That's another way, and that's another reason why we have this thing we call church hurt in the church. The anointed coming against the anointed. It don't make any sense. It hasn't made any sense. It will never make any sense. But yet it happens in the house of God, in the body of Christ. It happens. The anointed trying to bring a curse on the anointed. If somebody had came to me, and maybe even as of right now, if I was some of you all and was listening to what I'm saying tonight, I probably wouldn't believe such crazy antics go on in church, in the house of God. I have had some things happen to me in my lifetime. Curses sent from the anointed ones, or those who were anointed. I'm telling you, they were anointed. And like I said, had someone told me that that was going to happen or that was happening, I wouldn't have believed it, but I have suffered it. I guess that's what I'm talking about now. I have suffered it. I have experienced it. But in case somebody is listening and hearing this now, all I can tell you is stay with God. Go with God. Hold on to the promise of God, because whatever God has promised you, I promise you, the promise will come to pass. And if it seems as though promise may have been taken away, I guarantee you the next promise God still will fulfill, and it will be greater than the last. If I haven't seen this, if I haven't experienced none of this, I could not tell you none of this. Anyway, so Balaam, he went to the elders, and he spoke unto him the words of Balaam. I'm sorry, let me go back to the 7th verse so I can catch up. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hands. Divination, same thing, witchcraft, in their hands. And it came to Balaam, and it spake the words unto Balaam. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word. I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abide with Balaam. And God came to Balaam and said unto him, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balaam, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, have sent unto me, saying, behold, there is this people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Now come, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Listen to what God said. Thou shalt not go with them, and thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now God told the prophet, don't go with them. Don't curse them, for these people are blessed. So Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balaam, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me the leave to go with you. And the prince of Moab rose up, and they went to Balaam, and said to Balaam, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. See how the flesh works. See how the flesh works. if he sends one group and you don't go forward, he's going to send another group that's more honorable than the last group, meaning that these people were probably people of position, stature, or wealth. Yeah. Could have been wealth, could have been stature, could have been even fame. But anyway, he sent another group that was more honorable than the last group. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. The king says, Balak says, for I will promote thee unto a very great, I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Now, everybody that knows anything about God, and if you do, or if you don't, the scripture tells us that promotions don't come from the east or the west or the south. For promotion comes from God. Here it is. This king is saying he's going to promote him. If he comes with him, bottom line, if he disobey God, come with him, curse what God said he done blessed. Woo! It's getting a little tight. So Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balaam, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know that what the Lord will say unto me more. Okay. This is where we get in trouble at. This is where even I've had problems in this area. Oh, Lord. You heard God say what he said the first time. And this is why, this is mainly why God gave me the message, what I'm giving tonight. Go with God. I probably should say, go with God the first time. Because God was plain in what he said. He said, don't go. He said, and don't curse what I've already blessed. Can I tell you that there are some people because we have to be careful because of who you are. Who you are to God, who you are in the kingdom of God, and because of the anointing that is on your life, because of the godly influence that is on your life. Some people want you to get with them to validate them. I said that right. Feel as though, even though they may not be doing what God calls them to do, they may be out of all order, maybe all out of order, from the floor, but yet they feel as though if they can get you to come be with them, yeah, that's called pimping the anointing. They feel as though that by your presence being there, you can help validate their agenda. People may gather. More people may come because they see your name, or because they've heard of you. And God is saying, don't go. I don't want them to be validated in what they're doing. I don't want them to feel comfortable in what they're doing. But if you go, you having the position that you have, and because you are a man and you are a woman of God, that people know you are upright, that you are upstanding, they will feel comfortable, even though at first they might have felt uneasy. They might not have felt so comfortable and so confident in going, but now that they see that you're going too, they feel like it's all right to go. So here it is, Balaam still bargaining and said to him, said, now therefore I pray you tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. He already said what he's going to say. So here you are trying to get God to change his mind, and God, I already told you this is it. Let me raise my hands and praise God right there, because I've been guilty. Because sometimes we look at a certain thing, and God is not finished with this particular thing that he's promised you, so you're still going through the process, and the process don't look good, it don't seem good, it don't seem like it's going to work, it don't seem like it's aggravating, it seems like it's not even cooperating, it seems like it's totally rebelling on God, what God said. But God said, and because God said, it is what it is. So there's no need in trying to bargain. I'll be honest with you, I've tried to bargain with God one time, and God was like, okay, pretty much like this. But I said, okay, all right, then go ahead, you know. And sure enough, because it wasn't what God said, it was just like wagging them, it was just like wheels on a wagon, it just fell off. Boo-boo. Because God, that wasn't God. That wasn't God. Sometimes God would allow you to go ahead and kick against the prick just to show you that he's God. Sometimes he'll do it just to show you that his way is not our way. His way is higher above our, his thought is high above our thoughts. So we might as well just, when we hear God say what he say, we might as well just go ahead and go with God. Go with God. The first time, let's go with God. So then on the 20th verse, it says, and God came to Balaam that night and said unto him, if men come to call thee, raise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto you, unto thee, that shall thou do. Balaam rose up in the morning and settled his ass and went on Moab. Now I don't see where they came, but to me, when I look at the scriptures, it's just telling me that Balaam took it upon himself that next morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. God said, if they come, then you go. But no, he had purpose in his heart already. He was going. And in the 22nd verse, it says, and God's anger was kindled because he went. And the anger of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass. Two servants were with him. And the ass saw the anger of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote his ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, and a wall being on each side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall and smote her, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there is nowhere to turn, either to the right hand or the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, I would there were a sword in my hand, now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine until this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. and the sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine eyes as these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her. The angel is hot. He's angry too. And he's telling him that had not that donkey turned away from me, I was going to kill you and save the donkey. Because of your rebellious way, because of your perverse way, because you knew not to go, but you chose to go anyway. Let us continue to go with God. Because what I'm seeing here is still, even out of Balaam being rebellious, I'm seeing here that mercy is still being extended. God even opened the mouth of the donkey so the donkey could talk to him and rebuke him and let him know, you're not going where you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be going here. Not only is the donkey talking, God got an angel talking too. So how stubborn are we at times? Once we purpose a particular thing, stubborn are we? Was it the fact that the king told him he was gonna give him some kind of promotion if he went? I mean, God had already told him that even if you go, you still can't curse what I said. Don't curse. I've already blessed that. So about now, what's the need of you even going anyway? So it says in 34, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. For I know not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Let me say this too. Balaam, by Balaam being a prophet, and I looked this up one other time, what I had found out was that he was very accurate in his prophecies. The Bible talks about prophets being seers into the spirit realm. When I look at this, I think, could it have been that, well, anytime disobedience takes place or operate, we know that one of the biggest spirits that's connected to that is pride. Why, being a prophet, had he not been so full of pride, he should have saw the angel before the donkey. He's a seer. He sees into the spiritual realm. But the Bible says here that the donkey saw him first, and that God had to open his eyes so he could see the angel. We have to remember, not only just to follow God's way, but humility is always the way to go. So in the 34th verse, it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went to the princes of Balak, and Balak heard that Balaam was come. He went out to meet him into the city of Moab, which is the border of Aaron, which is the uttermost coast. And Balaam said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee, wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee or honor thee? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. In other words, I'm powerless. Stop looking at me to be able to change the course of this thing. I can only speak what God said speak. And Balaam went to Balak, and they went to Parajazor. Somebody can call me whatever, tell me how to pronounce that if you like. And Balaam offered oxen and sheep and went to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him into the high places of Baal. And thence he might see the utmost part of the people. And Balaam spoke unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by the burnt offering, and I will go peradventure. The Lord will come to meet me. Whatsoever he shows me, I will tell thee. And he went to the high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 offers. I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the word of the Lord, put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice in the princes of Moab, and took up this parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, have brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob. How shall I curse whom God have not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord have not defied? There's a promise to you that if God has promised you something, I don't care what the promise is, the promise shall come and the promise shall be manifest. Said, am I a man that I should lie? You know, am I the son of man? No, he's not going to lie. He said, if I said it, shall not it come to pass? If I said I would do it, shall not it be done? Be encouraged is what I'm saying. And maybe I need to be saying it to myself as well. But be encouraged to those who know God has promised you something. And hold fast to your promise. Hold fast to the word that God has given unto you. It doesn't matter what it looked like. It can't be stopped. Haven't you heard? Maybe you haven't heard. Sometimes a delay is not denial. Just because it's being delayed, that means that it's being denied. Sometimes when it's being delayed, it's because God is still doing some shaping. Sometimes God's still doing some molding. Sometimes God's still doing some perfecting. Sometimes God is still doing some sanctifying. Sometimes he's doing some delay. Don't mean that it's being denied. Remember, whatever God has promised you, because you are blessed, you can't be cursed. Maybe I need to say that out there for some of those witches out there that want to try to curse something that God has already blessed. Maybe I need to say that for some of those who try to preach by day, prophesy by day, ride a broom by night. I know they out there. I've experienced that. But whatever God said he was going to do, whatever God has placed his hands on, it shall and it will come to pass. So they may as well stop doing their hackling. They might as well stop doing their chanting. They might as well fold their little Ouija boards up and burn them. Take your broom and throw it in the fire too. Because whatever God said he's going to do, it's already done. It's like money in the bank. Nothing can stop it. He might allow it to be delayed, but he's going to do what he says he's going to do. It's getting to a point now because it's so late in the hour. God been saying he's doing stuff now. It's a right now word. Faith come by hearing. Now faith. Now faith. That's what the scripture we're talking about. Now faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Because God is doing some stuff right now. I think it's in the book of Ezekiel. He said, who said it's going to take forever now? When I say a thing, I'm doing it. He's doing it. Stay encouraged. Keep hope alive. Because you're going to make it. And you're going to receive what God has promised you. That's all I have for you tonight. I hope that it's more than enough. I hope that it gave somebody else a little bit more. No, not just a little bit more, but a whole lot more. A whole lot more hope. A whole lot more encouragement. A whole lot. Some of you may have to speak a word. Some of you may still have to, may have to fight. You may have to say some things in the spirit realm to cause your manifestation to come. But whatever it is, don't speak against the manifestation of the word of the Lord come to pass. Now is not the time to get frustrated and hit the rock when you're supposed to speak to the rock. I don't know who that's for. Maybe it's me. Help me, Jesus. Anyway, hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering. For he is faithful. Say that part again. For he is faithful who has promised. Amen. So, if you're under the sound of my voice and you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can just repeat this simple prayer after me. It's all done by faith. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can, you shall, you will be saved. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins and my iniquities. And I believe that on the third day, you rose him from the dead with all power in his hand. I confess this with my mouth and I believe it in my heart. According to your word, I am saved. Thank you for coming into my heart, Lord. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I renounce Satan. He has no place in my life anymore. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Now, if you pray that prayer with me, you can reach me on Facebook. You can reach me on Snapchat. You can reach me on Instagram. I'll be glad to continuously pray with you and pray for you. Until next time, next week, same time, same channel. This is Apostle Brian Blessing Game. Remember, whatever you do, let's do it in decency and in order. But most of all, let's do it for his glory. Kim and Kim, will you take us out? God bless you. It's always good to be with you. Amen. God bless. I'm out.